Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
All new to the Podfix Network, it's the Podfix Football Federation. Catch all the edge-of-your-seat football action is fantasized about amongst 8 shows on our network. Each week we'll look back at the results, talk to the teams, and prophesize the future like the all-knowing mediums we are. Follow along and root for your favorite squad by subscribing to Podfix Presents, the only place to listen to and then yell at your listening device about how we were wrong, even though you know we can't hear you. The Podfix Football Federation Weekly. It's a slam dunk.
Knight Rider, a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man that does not exist.
Might as well put on some music.
I'm the voice of Knight Industry 2000's microprocessor, KITT for easy reference. A kit if you prefer. What would you like to hear?
Welcome to Champa and Klein, the Knight Rider Years, a podcast by two friends who share a love of classic 80s television. I am your host, Testicle Frozen Man.
I am your other host, Shit Popsicle.
Guys, it's so cold. I hate everybody, and I hate everything, and I just, God, I hate it. I hate winter so much.
The bitter cold is exhausting.
I mean, you have to say, I mean, we said this last week, but you and I have talked about this before. This stretch of winter, normally I'm not one to complain about cold weather. I really don't mind winter for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
How long have we been going right now with this cold snap?
Since forever.
I mean,
since forever, Dave.
What are we right now? We're recording on the night of February 27th. Mm. It's at least been since the beginning of January. It's like we've had like these little tease days in the like mid-30s. We had like one day. It was like 61.
Well, 2 days over the weekend, last Friday was like in the 50s.
Yeah.
Like recently, this weekend, it was pretty warm. This morning, it was 4 degrees at my house.
Yeah, it was terrible. My car almost didn't start again this morning. I was real close to having to jump it. I just like, this has been probably the worst winter I can remember on record.
on record
for my life. The worst I can think of. And not only because of like, we've had a lot of health issues in my family and Kristen's family and my family and with our youngest. It's been a really shitty winter because of that. But just overall, I feel like we're just repeating ourselves. Like, you could literally probably listen to the beginning of last week's episode, and Greg and I are talking about the exact same thing.
Well, Dave, this is our therapy.
It really is. This is what I need on a weekly basis.
Me too. This is our couples therapy.
I do. And the basement is fucking cold. We've got the heat on, but the basement is freezing.
I'm wearing my jacket right now.
I think there's, at one point when we were doing MacGyver, you had to wear your winter hat over your headphones.
I did. I know.
this is awful.
But that was like last year.
It was. But this is worse.
How have your
cars been handling the winter?
Fine. Yeah, I'm fine. The cars start up. They don't like it. Pretty much for me, if it is below 30 degrees or, you know, 25, I start my vehicle.
Okay.
And let it idle for like 10 minutes to warm up, or else I can't like get in and go. You can feel it's sluggish. All the oil and the grease is just thick and slow. And it just doesn't like it.
My car has the digital readouts on the front, like all the radio stuff. And if it's this cold, I have to give it 5 to 10 minutes to warm up because I can't turn the radio on. Like, I can, but nothing shows up. Like, the thermostat doesn't work. I can't read the temperature. I can't turn the volume up. I can't even turn the fan on to get the heat going if it's this cold, because I need the car to be able to warm up for a few minutes. So, like you said, yeah, I can't go anywhere because you can really feel how sluggish the mechanics get on the inside of the car. It's awful. I hate it, Greg.
We're just bitching.
We are. I'm looking forward to a spring where Greg and I can record outside, right?
Sure, let's do that.
Can we record outside, Greg?
We can.
Year?
Let's do it.
Please?
Let's definitely do that.
So anyway, other than the terrible winter, Greg, how has your week been? Has it
been
all right?
Pretty good, yeah. It's been a fine week. It's been a fine week, David.
What have you been up to?
Hung out with some cousins over the weekend. We went to see How to Train Your Dragon 3.
I think I'm going to take the girls tomorrow.
That sounds pretty fun.
I'm pretty
It was
psyched.
Good. Not having seen the first two.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Like, I didn't know anything about the story.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was enjoyable.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, I think we're going to go see that tomorrow. Strangely, so we live in Maine and, in our school system, we have something called a school resource officer. He's a police officer, basically. And this gentleman, he has gone to all three schools. He's been doing this for like 30 or 40 years. He tragically passed away last week. He was very well loved in the community. So we got an email from the superintendent of schools that she made the really hard decision in order to honor this man and to allow faculty and staff for all of the schools to be able to attend his services. She canceled school for the entire day. All three schools, the elementary schools, high schools, and middle schools are not going to have school. So February 28th, I get to stay home with the kids. So I think I'm going to take them to the movies. We
got
to figure out what to do. We're going to maybe take a little trip to Bull Moose.
Oh, yes.
Find a couple of cheapo, crappy movies and take them to the movies. I think it'll be fun. But yeah, that's one of those things I don't actually ever remember having a resource officer.
Yeah. I mean, I remember we had officers. But the role has changed. You know, before it was like a nice friendly face that kids could get used to, the police, and, you know, just to have that interaction.
Yeah.
It always felt a little strained.
Did it?
In some senses. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Yes. Like, for me, nothing bad. Just, I don't know. I don't feel like in my high school experience that they were, like, as present. It was hard to explain.
Okay.
It felt more like just a police officer at the school rather than an outreach sort of thing.
All right, I gotcha. But I mean, as sad as it is that this man passed away, it was a very sudden passing. I'm actually happy that I get to have the day off with the kids. I did tell my boss today at work, I said, we literally went through our entire Rolodex of people that we could call on for, like, last minute. I called my mother, Kristen's mother, all of our backups, but everyone's either going to the funeral or they have similar issues with childcare. Mm-hmm. Kristen had to call out of work the other day, so she couldn't miss more work. She's been out so often, so I was like, oh, well, I guess.
Yeah.
Honestly, this was one of those worst-case scenarios where if it really came down to it, I'd have to take the day off. And, I mean, they were totally fine with it, but I'm happy to be able to take the day and enjoy it and
very good.
Go
very
see
nice.
How to Train Your Dragon 3.
That'll be fun.
Or I'll take them to see Alita Battle Angel.
Okay.
Either one. I think we'll be fine. I mean, Lucy loved Aquaman.
Jeez.
She absolutely loved Aquaman. So, but yeah, so I think that's fun. Otherwise, it's been a pretty quiet week on the health front.
That's good.
And on the Champa House.
But you had an exciting find this week, David.
Oh, Greg. Yep. So, for those of you who are listening to the show, who have known Greg and I for a long time, which probably isn't many of you, I'm not sure Wes is listening because he's the only one who would find this to be as exciting as we did.
Oh, Wesley.
So back in college, Greg and I lived together for an entire year, and I had purchased the summer prior a Hi8 video camera so that Greg and I could just record our exploits and our shenanigans. And we recorded probably 3 or 4 tapes worth of stuff over the entire year. I think we recorded on SLP, so there's like 4 to 6 hours on each tape. Since leaving college and, you know, moving on and leaving school and getting married and this and that, the Hi8 camera has been lost. It was lost for years and years and years, and it has been my goal that I was going to find a Hi8 camera and not pay a ridiculous price since these have now been discontinued. Oh, I found one. Went to the old Goodwill in my town that I live, went to the Goodwill, found it sitting on a shelf, $5, purchased it, got it home, got everything open, looking through all the components and the batteries, only to realize that it was missing, I don't know, I would think it's a crucial part of the camera. It was missing the wall adapter that connects the battery pack to the wall to then plug in.
Right. Very simple.
Very simple. Something that is a necessity in order to get this to work. We are 97% of the way to being able to view footage that I don't think we've actually viewed in over a decade.
Oh, more than that. I don't know the last time we were able to play those tapes.
I'm terrified that they're just going to disintegrate when we put them in the camera, because they haven't been. They've been sitting in this basement, I mean, relatively moisture free for a long time.
They look okay. They don't have mold on them.
They look like they're in good shape. I've tried to keep them away from heat and away from excessive cold. Mm-hmm. I want so badly to watch what's on these tapes. There's so much stuff. The only thing that I remember vividly, there are two things I remember that I know are on these tapes. One was you and I riding around the halls of our dorm on your little mini bicycle.
That's right.
Two, filming that stupid, stupid movie where we just chased each other around campus and I wore the pimp hat.
That's right.
Do you remember this?
The pimp hat and
the can of Pringles. That was the movie.
It's just a can of Pringles.
Just a can of Pringles.
So yeah, we're very close. There we are. We found the camera. Just can't run it.
So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to post the picture on Instagram of the camera. Bless you, Greg.
Thanks.
If anybody knows of or has this somewhere in their life, an adapter for a camera like this, I'm not going to pay anything, but just send it to us. That's all I want.
Yeah, you pay the shipping.
Just send it to us, all right?
just ship it to Greg and Dave, Maine.
Yeah, Greg and Dave, care of Maine. It'll find us.
Care of Maine.
It'll find us.
It'll get here.
It'll find us eventually.
There's only a 1,000,003 people in this state.
Yep, it'll be all right. We'll find us. There's only so many Greg and Daves who do this
right
together. They'll find us. I'm sure of it.
Oh, absolutely. Those two weird guys that do that podcast in their freezing cold basement.
Do you want to talk about some poll results?
Oh, yes, I do.
Do you remember this from last week?
I just, you know, I couldn't answer one of them.
No, I couldn't either.
I'm really curious how this goes.
So for those of you guys who listened last week, our good friend Bill from the Atari Bytes podcast joined us for a really great discussion about the season 2 premiere of Knight Rider. And he was a blast. I really hope he had a good time listening to the show. But he also came up with, not listening to the show, I hope he had a great time being on the show, because we had a great time having him. He came up with our Who's More Likely questions last week, and he came up with some really, really great questions. Well, I think they were both great, but there was one that I think was just a hair above the other one in terms of just like making my mind completely turn into mush.
Oh, sure. It hurt.
It hurt. So the first question was, who is more likely to die alone? Kit, Michael, or Devin? I said Michael, because he's just the type of idiot who would be the one to just like wander off in the woods by himself in the dark and get lost and either freeze to death or choke to death in his own apartment by himself. He's just that much of a dummy to do that. You and Bill both agreed that Devin, but it wouldn't be due to an accident. Mm. It would be more of just like, it is the honorable thing to do.
It is my time.
Right. He'd just sit down in his easy chair with his cat.
Yeah, or whatever. Bill said he would just leave, crawl under the front porch and die.
That's right. That one, actually, that's, yeah.
I said he would probably end up in the kitchen of the semi. He'd just disappear and die there.
Right.
But yeah, he would be the kind of guy that would just be having a cocktail party.
Yeah.
And then be like, I need a moment. And then walk off into the
woods
or the garden at Knight Manor and die by himself.
He just knows it's time. He knows it's time. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Greg, sadly, the listeners did not agree with me.
Aww.
In one of our biggest polls, I might add, more people voted in this poll than any other poll that we've put up so far. 25% said Kit. 25% said Michael. 50% of our listeners agreed with you and Bill and said Devin.
Damn straight, because all of them are right.
Absolutely. And so I tend to say congratulations to you guys. I'm still sticking with Michael because he's a big dummy. So the next question, and I still don't know if I have an answer to this.
I don't know either.
So Bill posed the question, who's more likely to steal the last biscuit at Thanksgiving? Now, Bill said Michael, but with a caveat. Michael would take it, but Garth would stew on it for 15 years and never let Michael live it down.
He would never let it go.
Now, you and I had the sense that they would both reach in at the same time and lock hands and not let go. And just squeeze their hands looking at each other intently for hours.
They would just make
hours.
Everything uncomfortable.
Hours and hours and hours and hours. I still don't know who I want to go with, but I think I'm going to lean towards what Bill said.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to agree that I think Michael would just like give him the big F you with the finger, take the biscuit, but Garth would just like stew on it and stew on it and stew on it. Unfortunately, our listeners were split and said 50-50.
That's exactly, I mean, it's so hard.
It's such a difficult decision. I wish somebody had called in to tell us what they really thought. I really, really do. Unfortunately, nobody was able to call in and tell us about that, but we're going to have a really hard time coming up with two follow-up questions to that.
Yeah.
These were two of the best I think we've gotten over the entire run so far. And how many episodes? This is our 24th episode of the series, or of the Knight Rider years. It's going to be a tough one. Absolutely going to be a tough one.
My favorite.
Greg, the other bit of news, did you hear that there was a bit of a resurgence for Knight Rider this week?
I heard some rumblings, saw some postings.
So from David Hasselhoff himself, and I don't know, he was promoting his book, his original book from Audible called Up Against the Wall. He let a few little tidbits slide about a potential Knight Rider reboot coming up in the near future. He says he has actually pitched various ideas, suggesting that even he didn't have to be the lead and could have a small cameo. Because honestly, if they're going to reboot it, I don't care if he's the lead. He needs to be in it in some capacity.
He has to take Devin's place.
The essence. Oh, yes. The essence of Michael Knight needs to be in there. That would be a great one. Devin Miles died. And the next logical progression.
No. Devin Miles didn't die. He just went for a walk in the garden and never came back.
That's true. So he could very well be alive for all we know. He says, I was on my honeymoon and this guy said, you know why Knight Rider is so popular? And David Hasselhoff said, why? And he says, you put your morals into Knight Rider and into Baywatch, and that's why they're popular. He says, I don't need to be brave and fight like Knight Rider or swim like Baywatch. It's not that. It's about why they do it. And I just think that's such a great thing. And so they asked him if a reboot is on or off the cards. Hasselhoff, he says, and he kind of confirmed it and says, I'm not supposed to say anything, but stay tuned. The Knight Rider will ride again.
That's awesome.
And I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know if it's going to be like a limited run series on Netflix or a new TV movie. I could see Netflix picking this up for 13 episodes.
Yeah, oh, easily.
And I don't care if it's only a 13-episode reboot.
That's all it would need to be.
I will watch every second of it.
I would want it to be like each episode could stand alone, but I'd want an overarching story throughout the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah, I would like, it'd be cool if it was a 13-episode arc, not standalones. It was just like this one big, the problem is that I know William Daniels is not, he's not dead yet, but I don't feel like if you're going to have David Hasselhoff in a reboot, in some capacity, you're going to need to get William Daniels back. But he's like 93.
I know.
He's really old.
I guess it all depends if he's in good health.
Yeah, I think he is. Did you hear
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Did you hear the story that William Daniels fought off a burglar in his house?
No.
Guy broke into his house and William Daniels like fought him out.
You know, you probably, I think you said that before, right?
Did we?
Maybe.
Maybe we did. I don't remember.
That's pretty awesome.
Anyway.
So then he could absolutely do Kit. No, but William Daniels dresses up as Kit. He's just in a big cardboard like refrigerator box.
I think that would be fine.
That's where the, like, they could do everything else, but they couldn't rebuild Kit, so they had to dress up William Daniels.
I think that's fine.
Okay.
I think that's absolutely fine. So I'm in for a Knight Rider reboot. I hope we hear more news about that in the coming months. I'm really looking forward to it. We got a hotline message.
Oh, my God.
And it's not from Richard.
What?
And I'm getting a little scared, Richard. You haven't called us in like 2 weeks. We need you to call back. We need Richard's corner back. But this is actually from our good buddy Chris from the More Gooder Than podcast. And we'll go ahead and let him take over here.
Hey, it's me, Chris. And I just wanted to say that I wanted to apologize to Dave for making fun of his Transformers the movie pick on our last movie draft. I'm a big enough man to admit when I'm wrong. Even though I won that draft, the strength of the Transformers pick almost carried Dave across that finish line. Anyway, bye.
Bye, Chris.
Chris, I accept your apology. You gave me a hard time. Everyone on that show gave me a hard time for picking Transformers, but I rode that wave as long as I could. And again, he won by 38%. I was in close. I mean, for me, it was close. 31% of the vote.
Okay.
I took in that poll. I appreciate the apology, Chris. Love you, buddy. you did have a phenomenal list. I think you it showed in your win. But until we meet again, Chris, on the next draft, if I'm invited back to another draft, I will crush you, and I will crush every single person in that draft. I am in it to win it for the next time.
Man.
So hopefully they decide to invite me back.
Those are brutal words, David.
I don't know. Anyway, Chris, thank you, man. Love you, buddy. If you guys aren't listening to the More Gooder Than podcast, go ahead and do yourself a favor and give it a listen. Greg.
David.
Are you ready to talk about the next episode of Knight Rider?
I'm always ready, David.
Here we go, guys. It's season 2, episode 3, Brother's Keeper. A lot of strange moments happened in this episode, not the least of which was there were a lot of strange reaction shots from our main protagonist, if you will. Mm-hmm. A lot of just lingering shots.
In odd poses. Yes. Well, not like bodily poses, but neck postures.
And the camera just lingers like 2 seconds too long on this guy's face.
I wish we could do some video right now, but yeah, they're odd.
It's just it was a really odd choice.
And not just the main character. A lot of scenes that like a lot of cuts back and forth.
Yeah,
but like a beat too long.
Yes.
Before they cut away, you're like, ugh.
It's almost like they didn't. Their editor just wasn't quite with it.
It's like, shit, dude. Hey, man, we really need this to be 20 seconds longer. Can you fill it in anywhere in this entire episode?
Clearly see him just slow the footage down.
Yeah. You know what? It might have been. We did notice in this more than, at least in this season, that they're doing a lot more camera trickery where they're speeding up footage.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it. They're losing all this time because they're speeding up footage, so they have to regain it back by having these long, weird cuts.
And you had mentioned, too, like, I don't know if it's because of my new TV or the footage, whatever, but, like, it was very blatant in this episode that they quadrupled the speed of the video to show Kit driving at mass amounts of speed.
I know, mass amounts.
All right, so we open on a parole hearing for a man named Peter McCord.
Peter
apparently has no intentions of wanting to leave. And the warden says, oh, okay, parole granted. Peace out, like, you're good.
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm not going. I don't want to go. You can't make me leave prison.
Right.
I know my rights. Like, I don't know about that.
It's like, you're in there for a reason, and you've served your time. So, like, you don't have those rights anymore. Like,
you have to leave now.
You have to leave now. And that's what the warden said. He's like, okay, cool. Yes, you know your rights. Good for you. Parole granted. Uh-huh. So Peter stands up, turns around, and just knocks out one of the prison guards.
I know. And they immediately like grab him. It's like, fine. I see the game you're playing.
Yeah.
Parole taken away or whatever he said.
Yeah. Basically, he
parole denied. That's what he
parole
said.
Parole denied. And he goes back to prison.
He didn't say, your parole rights have been taken away for good because you're a turd.
God, take this man's parole away. I don't think that's how. I said take it away. Mr. Warden, I don't think that's how you can just, you can't do that.
I don't know where we're going.
So we cut to Michael.
Yes.
Getting out of a prison bus.
Oh, Michael Knight.
Handcuffed at the wrists, walking in with the rest of the crew
into
the same prison that Peter is in, and shockingly has been put into the same cell as Peter.
You know, I really thought for a second it was the same prison. It could have been. Same prison, same cell, same set, possibly, as Ernest goes to jail.
Wait, Ernest goes to... no, I think Ernest goes to jail was like 91.
Okay.
So this was like...
Maybe it's the same building. I mean, it could have been. Because, like...
There were a lot of recycled street sets in this episode,
too. I was going to see Mr. Nash.
I got to watch that movie again.
It's so dumb.
I love
Ernest
Goes to
Jail. I love
it. So we see Michael walking in to the prison. Not surprisingly, he is put in the same cell as Peter.
Mm-hmm.
As we find out in the next scene back at the foundation with Devin and this other really tall, lanky dude, Philip Hunt.
What'd you call me?
Philip Hunt, who has hired the foundation to do this job. Devin tells this man that if Peter isn't released from prison by noon, a bomb will be detonated somewhere downtown.
Oh, dearie me.
What are we going to do? I don't know. I don't know. Well, we're in the semi at this point, too, right? With April and Devin and this other guy.
Right, right.
I don't.
Because Michael's already in prison, already in the cell. He's been planted there, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And now you're kind of getting a little bit of backstory that since this guy didn't want to leave prison, there has to be a way to get him out.
Right. There's something. He's refusing to get out of prison for some reason. We don't know why at this point.
He's clearly scared that if he leaves, he's going to get hurt or get murdered or something.
Right. And we find out that from some external source, if he isn't released, a bomb will be detonated. So So that's kind of the crux of the story. We need to figure out who's going to plant this bomb. Why is Peter so afraid to be released from prison? And so that's why this man, Philip, has hired the foundation to basically get Peter out of prison.
Which is really weird.
Right.
Like, it's just a strange premise to begin with.
Right.
Basically, that the foundation can't use some legal terms to get this guy out of prison. They actually have to go break him out.
Yeah, yeah. And so in a move that can only be defined as perhaps they're going to use this later in the episode, April has done some adjustments to Kit's turbo boost capabilities.
Yeah, fine.
Okay. And now we get this moment with Kit feeling very nervous about Michael being in prison.
Uh-huh.
He really wants to break him out like as soon as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a moment of anxiousness.
Mm-hmm.
If Kit can be anxious, there's definitely a moment of that as they let Kit out of the back of the semi. Kit just blows down the road. Really, here's another one of those weird editing scenes. Kit just blows past a hitchhiker.
Right.
On his way to break Michael out of prison.
I know, because the hitchhiker, you're like, he's clearly like hitchhiking. I think it was supposed to be kind of clever and like a funny bit.
Like the prospector from last week?
Exactly. But here the hitchhiker sees that nobody's driving Kit.
Yeah.
So that's the joke.
Great. We should watch that. I want to pay attention to the next couple episodes to see if they have a running gag about Kit just driving by a random person on the road.
Okay, so that's two so far.
That's two in a row.
Guy and a donkey, and now a hitchhiker.
So I'm very, very curious to see if they continue to do this. So Michael and Peter have a conversation in their jail cell because Michael is looking behind Peter. Now, Peter has all these pinups on his wall of a woman, a younger woman on his wall, and Michael's like, ah, really nice. And Peter's like, yeah, you do well to stop looking at that. He goes, oh, this is a communal cell. We're all good friends here, basically. I can look if I want. He goes, I told you not to look.
So weird. Michael's just being a creep. Just
yeah.
Like, and whatever. He doesn't. They've been in the cell together maybe half an hour, I'm guessing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Time is an illusion in this episode.
Oh, we get, yes.
And then a guard opens the cell.
The guard knocks on the door.
Hello, Mr. Michael?
Is this Mr. Michael? Michael? No, this isn't Michael.
Mr. Michael and Peter Piper?
So he knocks on the cell door, Greg, and what does he say?
He says, the warden wants to see you.
And Peter says, I know my rights. I don't have to go. I wasn't invited.
Well, he's like, well, the warden wants to see you both.
Right.
Both Michael and Peter. It's just a weird.
And Peter's like, I wasn't invited.
I'm not going. I wasn't invited. It's like, well, you kind of were because the warden says you have to come see me.
And you're a ward of the prison, so
right.
You do what the warden says.
Correct.
So Michael and Peter head down to the warden's office. And then we get the cutaway to Kit blasting as fast as he could towards this prison. And we get our first shot, and we had to pause this, and we did a frame by frame.
Uh-huh.
So we get a top-down like helicopter shot of Kit just like blasting down the road towards the prison. And we do a frame by frame. And what it appears to be for Greg and I is a man dressed like the seat of Kit driving the car.
It was awesome. It took us the second. We're like, okay, it looks like there's no one driving Kit, but then like as it gets closer and closer and you're starting looking more down through the windshield instead of head on, your perspective changes. So I'm like, wait a minute. It looks like there's someone wearing a shirt that's the same color as the seat.
Yeah, it's like a khaki. It's a khaki shirt.
But like with black arm coverings or black sleeves to match the dash. I'm like, that's pretty clever.
It was. If that is indeed what it was, props to the prop guy and the costume guy for coming up with that idea, because nobody thought in 2019 that two idiots from Maine were going to frame by frame a shot of Kit driving and say, that's a dude dressed like a seat. There's a man dressed like a seat.
There's my next Halloween costume. Dude, what the hell are you dressed as?
I'm a man dressed like a seat.
I'm dressed like specifically the Knight Industries 2000's driver's seat. What's that stain on your stomach?
Shh.
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that stain. Why is it brown? I said we don't talk about that stain.
So needless to say, you want to play cards?
So needless to say, due to April's adjustment to the turbo boost, Kit, how high is this wall into the center of the prison?
A couple of inches?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about the wall. Oh.
The wall that Kit jumps over that leads into where Michael and Peter are walking.
Because there's the wall that the model wall of the prison that the model Kit jumps over in the scene, which looked great.
Oh, it did.
So, yeah. So, it probably a 20-foot wall with barbed wire on the top.
Turbo boosts like no other right over the brick wall into the common area of the prison.
Right. Flattens out a couple of prisoners and a couple of guards.
Well, it's Kit's Carmageddon.
Destroys some kids. Yeah, right. He just starts doing donuts and like wiping people out because it's like recess. They're doing jumping jacks
and
stuff.
Yeah.
And he just like flattens them all out.
So, you know, waste no time.
Does a tire burn out in a giant K in the middle of the pavement?
What does it all mean? What's the K? Oh, I wish that happened.
I know. And then Michael gets in. let's leave now.
We need to go. So now I have a question. So in this next scene, Michael puts Peter in the car, goes around to the other side as open bullets are just flying through the prison yard.
Yeah.
Windows down.
Right. Windows down again. And it's clearly a logistical thing so that there's no glare, that you can see Michael Knight driving the car.
Oh, absolutely.
No bulletproofing there.
Right. Kit turbo boosts back over the wall.
Yeah.
How did Kit get enough speed to get back over
that
wall?
He backed up. Did you see? He backed up a little bit, like to the as far as he could go in the courtyard, then floored it again.
The prison yard was that long?
I don't know. Well, remember what
April,
ripoff Bonnie did.
Yeah.
April upgraded the turbo boost.
We only have to deal with her for 20 more episodes.
I know. So now maybe he can turbo boost from a shorter distance.
Okay.
So he turbo boosts back over the model wall. And I have to say, I think it's new in this season, that they're using a lot more model work.
It's really good.
And it's maybe the budget went up. Or maybe that's how they traded it off. They could boost the budget in other ways by doing these expensive shots and explosions in models.
Okay.
There you go.
That's a good. Actually, it'd probably be a good money saver.
Or,
absolutely.
Or the Hoff wanted more money, or they were going to pay him more. It's like, well, either we do models or you get more money.
Well, they fired Bonnie, so they probably...
Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's what it was, and they probably didn't have to pay April as much money. Who knows? So anyway, so they get out of the prison, and they're being surrounded by cops. And Kit says, oh, well, Michael, I have just the perfect spot to hide us. Cue the semi-truck pulling right up next to them.
I know. Out in the same desert road, wherever that is.
I love it.
I love how they jump back and forth from, like, you know, like... residential areas or urban areas into like the desert again.
Right.
Here
absolutely.
You go. There's the semi. They drive inside. After they put an APB out on Kit.
Right.
And Michael.
Right.
And they hide inside the semi, which is pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a big Knight on the side of the semi. Maybe they would. Apparently that's enough that they were able to get out of there. So
I love it.
Peter is rescued. The Foundation's job is done. Michael has nothing else to do. If we could only end the episode there.
So Peter, Michael, Devin is talking to that other guy.
Phil.
Devin is talking to Phil, and Phil's like, I don't know how you did it, but really thank you very much. This and that. We wanted to get Peter. Michael drags Peter in.
Yeah.
Michael has changed clothes out of his prison clothes.
Yep.
Peter is still in his prison clothes.
Peter's kicking tooth and nail, fighting tooth and nail.
Kicking teeth and nails?
He's fighting tooth and nail to just like, he's like, I don't know why you broke me out of here. I can't be out in prison. I cannot be out of prison. You need to put me back in. And Phillip's just like, no, you guys are all set. I appreciate you. You did your job. We're going to go ahead and take Peter, and we're going to go.
And this is where Peter's like, you understand they're going to kill me, right? And they pretty much drag him away.
Well, and Devin's just like, okay, ta-ta. Bye for now.
Bye then.
And
bye.
And Michael's like, ah, you know, Devin, he seems really nervous about going outside here. He seems really afraid that he's going to be killed. Maybe we should do something about this. And Kit, Devin says, well, I mean, Foundation's job is done. So if you want to do something, it's up to you. You do your own thing.
Like, yeah, he's like, fine. Out of our hands. But, you know, if you want to look into it further, you just use your judgment.
Yeah. And then he leaves.
Okay, so Michael, I was like, so am I getting paid for this?
Is this coming out of the Foundation's budget, or what are we doing here?
All right, I'm gonna go terrorize everybody then.
Okay, I'll see you later. Okay. So Phil, who again we know has hired the Foundation, parks the car with Peter in the back, gets out of the car with his other guy, and leaves.
Right, and it's a detective's car, police car, whatever. Where Peter can't get out of the back, and there's like a grate.
Right,
so he can't get into the driver's seat.
And there are two jabronis who I don't remember their names, and I don't believe they're ever named.
That's all right.
Are sitting there basically spying on him and watching this car pull up. Mm-hmm. Peter kicks out the window of the car, unlocks the door from the outside, gets out, and basically he bails.
Because he's like, you guys are going to leave me here? How many people does it take to go in to get a cigarette at the store?
Right.
The idea is that I think he thinks he's going to get assassinated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he knows something's up.
So he runs, man. He runs.
And it's a great scene. Like, he's really hauling ass down the road.
I don't know how he's doing that. And, like, the leather-soled shoes, how he's running so fast.
Really tight jeans. Oh, like, yeah. He looked good while he was running.
Okay. And then Michael and Kit is like, they're a block or so away. And Kit says, I think something strange is happening.
What do you mean?
He's like, let's go. And starts chasing after Peter, who's being chased by another giant white Cadillac.
Yep.
Which is
that was
awesome.
The one that Fancy Nancy, right?
Kind
of caddy.
Same, I think so, yeah. Big white Cadillac.
Yeah.
This one had either brown or like purplish interior.
Right.
Eggplant.
Maybe.
Aubergine.
Aubergine.
Is that not a hardware store?
Yes, Aubergine Hardware. Aubergine Hardware. That's what it is. Fabergé Hardware.
Okay.
That's what it is. So Peter's like hauling ass down the road. Michael gets ahead of the Cadillac and cuts it off.
Yep.
Peter runs, and somehow Kit, I don't know how Kit is able to track him, tells Michael like that he's lost him on radar. He's nowhere to be found.
Everybody has a radio suppository, as we know now.
Right. Oh, sure.
So that's what, when Peter was sleeping in the prison cell, Michael slipped him one.
Yep. We're not going to get into how.
Nah.
So we're back to the Foundation, I believe, at this point, where Philip is basically giving Devin shit like, why was Michael there? What the hell is happening? I was under instructions to leave Peter there for the pickup. And he's like telling Devin, you're in over your head on this. Like, you have nothing to do. Because then Devin basically supports Michael.
Right.
After he tells Michael, do this of your own accord. But I think that's a sign of Devin's loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Devin's not going to throw Michael under the bus. And I like that, because Devin's just like, well, I mean, he did
but
it under the Foundation
he also
authority.
Trusts Michael's judgment, too.
Right.
You know, he's like, well, you know, something is a little funny, isn't it?
Right. Absolutely. So after Devin leaves, Philip picks up the phone, calls who we assume is whoever this contact is or the police, reinstates the APB on Kit after Devin leaves, and sends the cops back out after Michael.
Right.
Now, we cut back into the semi, where April is installing what Michael refers to as a bomb sniffer into Kit, because we forget at this point that there's also a bomb that's due to detonate at noon in a day or two.
Right.
So April has somehow, we don't really get an idea. We know that Bonnie was what kind of a technician was she? What the hell kind of a tech was she?
I don't remember.
It was like
artificial intelligence.
Yeah, it was like an exo engineer or like a genetic engineer or something like that.
So we're doing a Knight Rider show and we can't remember anything about anybody.
Nope. All we know is that April somehow built a bomb sniffer. She gave some technical jargon.
It's just like a dust buster and a hair dryer.
It's a dog snout sticking out of the front of Kit's car.
It's like one of those shitty like rubber ones, you know, with the little elastic, like the pig snouts.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just literally heard dust buster just now, and I'm laughing. He goes, Kit, activate the bomb sniffer.
Oh, I love it.
It's like Mega Maid from Spaceballs.
Oh, my God.
She's gone from suck to blow.
Well, you don't want Kit to do that.
No, you do not. Because the dust buster would blow and the tailpipe would suck.
That's right.
That's how that works. So enter Peter's daughter. We're going to talk about Lisa for a few minutes here, shall we?
A few minutes. God, that's a long time.
Or the rest of the episode.
Okay. And her photo shoot.
So Lisa, we come to find out, as Michael, we find out. So April has done a background check, and she comes to find out that there's a daughter in the picture whose name is Lisa. And Michael, like, looks, like, really familiar. Like, he knows who this is. And we come to realize that Lisa is the woman that's pinned up on the wall in Peter's cell.
Yeah.
So we find out that it's Peter's daughter, Lisa. And so we cut to...
No, let's be clear. To give Peter, you know, he's not a creeper.
No, he just...
These are like shots. They're not like, you know, like pinup girl shots.
No. He's in support of his daughter, and he misses her, and he hasn't seen her in a very long time.
Magazine model photo.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Now we cut to Lisa having her photo taken on a swing in the middle of a park. With photographers who don't know what they're doing.
No, with strobe lights that, like, from the cameras that aren't working.
And for the life of me, I can't remember the song. It's a really well-known song that was playing.
White Bird?
I wish it was White Bird.
I think White Bird would fit into every single scenario in Knight Rider.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's every song from now on has to be White Bird.
Or ever since Michael saw his, like, his old flame. Like, he has a cassette of White Bird.
Patty? Not Patty.
Patty. He just demands Kit play it all the time. Whenever he's melancholy, he plays White Bird.
Kit, play me White Bird again.
Michael, you've heard that 16 times today already.
I know. Just play it one more time.
Michael, it's not even 9 a.m.
I said play the song. So Lisa finishes the photo shoot and comes, like, you know, she comes walking down the hill, and Michael confronts her and starts talking about her father, Peter. And she goes, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. My parents are dead. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't have parents. I was raised by my aunt and my uncle.
I don't have parents. I was grown by spores. What?
I was raised in the woods like Mowgli. I'm living the Jungle Book, Michael.
She goes to her trailer, which is just a bush in the park.
She just, like, slowly slinks down. She's like, Michael's like, I can still see you. Like, I know what you're doing.
But don't you love how Michael approaches these people who have endured tremendous trauma in their life?
Yeah.
And just approaches them in public and brings it up?
Yes.
I want to talk about your father, who you think is a murderer and dead, or not, you know.
Yeah. She's like, what are you talking about? My dad is dead. No, let's talk about that for a few minutes. I want to bring up that past history. What's your dad about? What's his story?
By the way, how's your career going?
It's just like, we talked about this when we were watching this earlier. Like, Michael is the antithesis of MacGyver. Like, MacGyver's so, like, calm, and, like, he wants to go in and just sort of suss everything out. And Michael's just a bull in a china shop. He's just like, so let's talk about your dead dad for a minute. How's that going? Is he still dead or what?
You want a date?
You want to go back to my car and date for a little while? Maybe share a beer
and a burger?
No, but I love Michael Knight.
I absolutely love Michael Knight.
I do. I really do.
I want to give him a hug. And the only reason why I love Michael Knight so much is because it's the Hoffman. He's like,
he's so good.
And he's so, we're just gushing again.
He said he walked, the scene where he's walking earlier in the episode, he just, like, lumbers. Like, his arms are almost too long for his body, and they're just like gorilla arms, just like lumbering.
Then he kind of bounces around a little bit. I know.
He's so good. If he ever listens to the show, I need him to know, David Hasselhoff, this is all out of a place of love. Like, I love this character so much.
I know.
So much.
And everything.
God. Back on track. Yep. You ready? So Lisa's like, you know what? I need you to leave me alone. I'm going back. So she goes to a trailer, and Kit immediately radios Michael and says, I'm picking up a signature. There are two armed men in Lisa's trailer. And Michael's like, Lisa, don't go in that trailer.
He charges after her, grabs her by the arm after she says, you better get away from me or I'm going to call the police or whatever.
Right.
And he starts dragging her towards Kit, but she's kind of going willingly.
Yeah.
And then those same two jabronis that were in the white Cadillac come bursting out of the trailer and start chasing them down.
Right. Absolutely. So they drive away. And as we know that the APB has been put back on, Kit drives by a cop. The cop turns the corner and starts chasing Michael, Kit, and Lisa down. Now, here's a feature we've never seen. In order for Kit to get away from this, Kit basically rotates his license plate.
Like a James Bond thing.
Yeah, it just goes from night to, I think it's like Kit 1-1 or something like that. Yeah, I can't remember what it says.
Change numbers, which is funny because, okay, there's an APB out on the car, not the license plate, because there's no way they saw the license plate in the first place.
Right.
So this cop sees it like, oh, that's a different license plate. Okay.
Right. No one ever told you what the license plate was.
And there's this woman in the passenger seat waving, trying to get your attention.
Right. It's fine. She's fine. She's okay. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about that.
All of that could have just been, you know, the waving and stuff. Kit could have just tinted the windows. But
right.
He seems to do that whenever.
Yeah. But that's not one mention of the black Pontiac with a Knight license plate or anything like that. It's just, all we know is there's an APB out on Michael Knight. Not on the car.
Well, on the car, too.
Oh, on the car?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
The make and model.
I don't pay attention.
Kit even said it. Like, there's they're looking for me.
So we come to find out that these men are looking for Peter in something called the Minotaur. Uh-huh. They refer to it as the Minotaur. And Peter, as they're in the, I think they're back at the foundation, Peter basically breaks into the room that Lisa's in and tries to have this like heartfelt moment with Lisa, and Lisa's just like, I don't want to see him ever. And they're like, well, why? Because he killed my mom.
Oh my god. And basically Peter's like heartbroken. He's just like resigned to accept the fact,
right,
that she hates his guts.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I need to leave. You have him now. I have to leave. And I love Michael's like, I'm sorry, I can't let you go, pretty much. He's like, you can't leave.
You're not going to do that.
I'm sorry, you can't leave.
You can't go anywhere until you have a burger.
No, you can't leave.
Or would you prefer some orange ass juice?
Orange juice. What?
I don't know. So these two jabronis, the idiots who tried to kidnap Lisa, they're being reprimanded by a man that we've never met yet, who's just now being introduced. We assume at this point that he's kind of the spearhead for this project. He's the one who's going to plant the bomb. Mm-hmm. We don't know who he is yet. He tells this whole story about Peter. Oh, no. Was it Peter? Does Peter tell the story?
What are you talking about?
No.
You're confusing me, and I just
watched
this.
Okay, so these two idiots are reprimanded for basically not bringing Lisa when they were supposed to.
Well, both losing Peter and then losing Lisa.
Right. And so we don't know who this guy is yet. He's kind of like the head honcho. He's the one who's going to spearhead this. And then we cut back to Peter. Mm. And he kind of lays out the whole story for, is it for Michael?
Yeah, because after his daughter leaves, April takes her away.
Yes.
To talk, and then Michael's like, "What the hell is going on? Why did you want to stay in prison?
Yeah,
what's going on here?" So basically, this is where Peter lays out the whole thing,
and it's a pretty hardcore story.
It is. It really
absolutely
is. But he's so stoic about it.
I know. So we find out that this guy that we saw in the previous scene, he had connections to the mob. He went to prison.
Well. Yes, okay, go ahead.
He went to prison. This guy asked Peter, so apparently this guy and Peter were once really good friends. He asked Peter to keep an eye on Rachel, who soon became Peter's wife.
Well, because Rachel was engaged to this other guy.
Correct.
Who went to prison.
Yes. So this boss guy asks Peter, keep an eye on Rachel for me, make sure she's safe. I'll be out whenever he gets released from prison. One thing leads to another. Peter falls in love with Rachel. They get married, have a daughter, who's Lisa. Flash forward about 7 years. Mm-hmm. Peter goes out to the grocery store, leaving Rachel home. I think Lisa was there, too.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, who was just released from prison, got wind that Rachel had married Peter and had a kid, flies into a rage and murders Rachel in cold blood and then pins it on Peter by having all of his guys, so all of this other guy, all of his lackeys, create this alibi that he was out of town and he was nowhere near the murder
scene.
Where
they were all together.
They were all together. Exactly.
Yeah, so basically this guy got framed for his own wife's murder and his daughter hates his guts.
Yep. Turns out that this man who committed this murder's name is Eric Fenton, who just so happens to be Peter's half-brother.
Oh, boy.
So it's a family affair.
It really is.
It's great. It's absolutely great. So now we get where we start talking about the time frame.
Sure.
So April, is it April? April makes a mention to Devin how Lisa spent 12 years trying to erase her father from her memory.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to run into the actress who plays Lisa does not look that old, that young.
Yeah.
So she was 7 when her mom was killed. She spent 12 years after that trying to erase her dad, which puts her at 19. And then later on in the episode, Peter makes a comment about how he's been trying to erase this and he's been trying to face up to this for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So somewhere...
There's some timing glitch there.
There's a timing glitch.
Unless we missed it.
Which we probably did.
That's fine.
Or it's never going to come into play again.
It doesn't really
which
matter.
Is more, which
because we're
more
never
going to
see these characters again.
Nope. So Jabroni 1 and Jabroni 2 in their Cadillac pull into a parking garage, pull up to, you know, a couple floors up. They leave, and we know what we saw earlier before they pulled in was they had actually put the Minotaur, which is the bomb, into the back of the trunk, pull the car into the garage, leave it, and walk away.
Yeah. Okay, so the bomb's planted.
13 hours, 12 hours?
Just about 14 hours.
14 hours left.
Yeah, something
before
like that.
Before the bomb goes up.
14 hours, 59 minutes, 59 seconds.
Yep, that's exactly what it was. So Kit traces... trace amounts of the bomb. He doesn't actually trace the bomb, but, like, areas where the bomb was.
Because Peter tells Michael who this guy is, so Michael just goes to check it out. He goes to him.
Right.
And confronts him directly. So as they pull up to his office, there's, like, a boatyard. I was expecting to see MacGyver's houseboat out there.
Oh, I wished we had.
Right? And so Michael just goes in and says, hey, I'm right. Michael Knight. I'm with the Foundation of Law and Government.
Right.
Foundation for Law and Government.
For Law and Government. Yeah.
There you go.
He's like, I want the Minotaur. I want you to go ahead and give that to me.
That's funny because I want to see Peter dead.
Right. And I love it because Peter's just like, Eric's like, I'm not going to compromise with you. He's like, the only thing I want is Peter dead. He's like, so you can ask for all the stuff you want. If I don't get Peter, you don't get the Minotaur. And I'm not going to give it to you anyway. So fuck off.
And Michael's like, oh, okay. It goes back into Kit. Kit's like, how'd it go, Michael? As if Kit couldn't hear it.
Right. Yeah. You weren't listening. You listened to every other conversation, but you weren't listening to this. Okay, bye.
I know. And Michael's like, it's not so good. He plays a mean game of chess. So there's some references to chess. A
lot of references to chess and checkmate and check this and whatever.
Whatever.
So Michael has Kit. He found there was apparently some sort of a drug called diphenidol on Eric's desk. He has Kit run the drug. Turns out that it's a drug for chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Eric is dying. So there's clearly a time frame on this murder. Like, Eric wants to do this before he gets too sick. So Lisa and Peter attempt to have another moment. Lisa refuses to talk to him once again, wants nothing to do with him. And next scene, Peter has somehow left the foundation looking for Eric.
Just disappeared overnight.
Yep.
Just disappeared. Foomp. Gone.
Just gone. So the countdown and the chase is on.
Oh, God. It's so much fun, but it's also just so boring.
I know. Although I have to say that I did like the scene where when they finally do get the bomb. I thought that scene was fun. So Peter finds Eric, who then immediately draws a gun on Peter. Peter comes into Eric and basically says, listen, I was going to atone for my sins. I was going to make myself a martyr. He's like, I'm just tired of running from you. I'm not afraid to die. If this is going to happen, let it happen right now. Michael shows up back to the boatyard. And I love this scene. So he pulls up and we see Kit pull up first, empty, next to the two guys. They're like, oh, there's nobody in there.
That's amazing.
And we get a bottom shot of Michael on top of a boat, I guess.
He's on top of some building or whatever, the boathouse, and he jumps down, punches these two guys out, knocks their guns out of their hands, kicks them, runs inside.
No, the stunt guy did.
Oh, the stunt guy did.
Really blatant stunt guy did it.
Because on a high-definition television, you can tell it's definitely
you can see
not
everything.
David Hasselhoff. But it's great.
So it was a phenomenal fight scene. But I love the next scene after Michael leaves the boathouse because they're gone.
Yeah.
So I love this. So Peter and Eric are having this like moment back and forth. And Peter's like, I'm tired of running from you. I'm not afraid to die. Like, this could have ended right here. But Michael comes in and just like everyone's silent. And Michael just takes the gun from Eric.
I know.
With no argument.
Nope. And then Peter leaves with Michael. Eric's kind of like,
what's going on? Those guys that have been knocked out are gone.
Yeah, like they just vanished.
Right. which I think is amazing.
It's great. It's like you just said, when video game characters get killed and they just sit there.
They just blink out of existence.
Right.
So Michael and Peter leave to find the bomb. So explain to me, Greg, because I'm an idiot and I don't pay attention to these things. How did they come up with these three locations?
So if you remember, Bonnie... Nah, God.
It's all right. It's going to happen all season.
April...
Yeah.
Was talking to the...
Which one?
The girl, the daughter.
Lisa.
Lisa. April was talking to Lisa like all night and recording her conversations to try to find some inside information about, you know, he's going to plant the bomb somewhere. Maybe there's some... Michael seems to think it's going to be a place that has some kind of family significance or to the history of their whole story.
Right, exactly.
So... Kit was tasked to sort through all of the tapes, like hours of whatever she was talking about, to find words or inflections in her voice that might have sounded stressed.
Gosh, that's right.
Which Michael didn't do in the previous episode.
No.
When all those
Red Bluff.
Red Bluff.
That's right. The first tape he listens to.
So maybe that's the reason. He's like, you know, April, Kit really needs to have some kind of voice recognition modulator thingy so that I don't have to listen to 10 hours of somebody just talking.
Right.
So that's what it is. So Kit came up with three possible locations based on April's tapes.
Okay. So the three locations were, one of them was an island?
Yeah, it was an island that they used to vacation at.
And Peter's like, that's not it because there's just nobody there. There's no habitants there.
Jesus.
Holy shit. He says the second place was the home that they grew up in, or that they lived in.
That Rachel,
Peter,
was
and Rachel,
in.
Lisa was murdered in. And he says the third place. He's like, well, that was the church that we got married in. He's like, that's it.
And
he's like,
that's the place where Rachel and Eric met the first time.
Yes, he's like, that's it. Let's go. So they peel out. They get over there. Not there.
Because Kit's sniffing away with his dustbuster.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry, Michael. I don't see any traces of blah, blah, blah. And there's 22 minutes left.
Yep.
Before this bomb goes off.
And he's like, all right, well, if it's not here, if it's not there, it's got to be over at the place where you two live together, the scene of the murder.
But I love how they did this. And the interesting thing is, this whole time, you know, we know that they parked the bomb in a car in a parking garage.
Right.
And they're listing off all these different places. And it's really cool how the first choice that they went to, the church, wasn't the right answer.
Yes.
And I thought that was really
great. I liked that. I thought that was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to the next place, which is the place that Rachel was murdered.
But it's a parking garage.
But it's no longer the house that's there. That's bizarre.
Because it was torn down.
Yeah.
It's gone, and now it's a parking garage.
Yeah. And so Kit pulls in, and he scans. He's like, can you scan for... And because of the steel within the concrete, Kit cannot pick up any signs of a bomb.
Right.
So Michael says, okay, well, let's scan for the car.
The white Cadillac.
The white Cadillac. In a five-story garage with 60, 70 cars,
mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, yep, nope, there it is. It's on the third floor. And I love Michael goes, that's it!
And he just floors it.
Run.
So I just love how like they give Kit skills whenever it suits him, and like he can't scan for a bomb, but he can easily find a Cadillac amongst other Cadillacs.
Right,
you know, all over the place. It's just so fun.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So they find it, and at this point, there's how many minutes? 8 minutes left.
Yeah, something like that. Oh no. Almost 8 minutes. They grab the bomb out of the back of the car.
Yep.
And they don't know what to do with it. So in a MacGyver situation, he would try to defuse it.
Yes.
But what does Michael Knight do? The smart thing, puts it inside of Kit and drives it out of town.
45 miles.
It was 48 miles.
Was it 48?
48 miles. Because Kit says, he's like, Michael, the safest place for this thing to detonate without anyone around is 48 miles away from here. Or 45, whatever. Maybe
no, it was 45, 45 miles in 8 minutes because that's how much time was left in the bomb.
Right.
So they had to drive 45 miles at top speed.
Uh-huh.
And I can't do the math, so I don't know how fast he had to travel.
Very fast.
But he gets there very fast. ends up jumping over, turbo boosting over a couple of cop cars.
Because his APB's out again, and they try to roadblock him, and Kit just, with his turbo boost accelerator modification, launches over these guys, you know? And that's it. We don't see them again.
Nope, they're gone. So they get to the opening. They get the bomb out of the trunk. They put it down. They run and they drive away as the bomb goes off. Now you had mentioned that it was another model.
Uh huh.
That the bomb goes off and it's a solid explosion.
It looks good.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I love the use of models. I really love that stuff.
I hope that they do more of it in the season because this is some really good stuff. So
I think it'll be funny if they like slowly start doing more and more model work until by the end it's just all models. It's like little dolls.
Oh my God, I really hope they do that.
Wax figures and stuff.
It'd be amazing if they did that. So the bomb goes off, detonating safely. Nobody gets injured. Cut back for the finale. Peter's a free man. He's going to start rebuilding his relationship with his daughter now that their names have been cleared. We assume that Eric's been arrested and gone to prison.
I guess we never see the last time we see him is in his office. They just leave him there.
Right, he never gives chase. So like he never chases after them. So
I guess now he's just going to go to prison and die in prison.
I guess. Sure.
Okay.
Kit is pleased that their life of crime has ended.
And
Michael and Kit and April decide that they're going to take a nice long drive to the beach because Kit can't stop talking about leading a life of crime. Now, it's interesting that's how this ended because there's a bunch of scenes in this episode that didn't actually make the final cut.
Oh,
a lot of them had to do with Kit performing a comprehensive review of famous partnerships in crime because throughout the episode, he has a lot of conversations about Michael, like, working together as a team and like being part of this like crime. He starts talking about all this stuff. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that he talks about. He comes to the conclusion that he and Michael are like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Mm-hmm. They cut all this out of the episode, and apparently they have more references like this.
Yeah.
That likens Michael to Kit and Famous Bandits. Uh-huh. Later episodes on, but they cut all of these references out.
Too bad.
I thought it would have been really cool to have like.
I know. Man, there's so many good things, like so much good writing, I think, that
I know
they had to cut for whatever reason, like to speed things up, pacing. That's why, you know, I'd love to see like longer. That's why I was upset with like the 90-minute opener, like the season opener.
Yeah.
Because like they can do so much with writing and have a great story, but they just tend to, you know, back it off.
I know.
It's television.
I know. And again, I thought this was a good episode. But I had a lot of similar issues with it. I just, like, certain things just weren't working the way that I wanted them to. I thought I had a lot of fun with it. I thought the chase sequences were really well done. I thought Peter was kind of bland.
He really was.
There wasn't much to his character.
Like, he and his daughter, I was just like, eh, they're just characters. I'm not really into them.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't find them wholly relatable, I guess. There was not much to them. April, I still don't get. I don't get her. I don't even know how much time we're going to have building that relationship because I know and we all know that she's only going to be here for a season.
I think it's just Bonnie, only it's April now. That's it. That's the only difference.
Do you think it was like, so it's April, it's Bonnie, but it's with April's face?
Right. April's face and April's name. That's it. It's like, that's it.
Okay.
It's the same character. They just changed the name and it's a different person playing it. I don't know.
All right, I'll give you that
any
one.
Any backstory.
All right. Well, I'm going to end up giving this a leather jacket with a turbo boost modifier.
Dude.
So I'm going to stick it at a 3.5 again.
Okay.
I think I did that for the premiere.
All right.
It was slightly above average.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything special yet.
I think I'm just going to stick with the leather jacket. It was good, but it's just kind of middle ground.
So you got a 3 and I'll do a 3.5?
Yeah. It was enjoyable.
3G, 3.5D.
Yeah, that, it was good. It was fun.
It was an enjoyable romp.
It was a romp.
We had talked about this earlier, Greg. Like I love this show, and I hate to say this, I might even like Michael Knight more than MacGyver.
Oh man,
I love this show, even for all of its I don't even know what you want to call it. Like even for all of its downfalls and the things I have wrong with it, I'm having more fun here. Than I think I was.
But the pacing on all of them so far has been fast, like good.
Yeah.
These 40 some odd minutes go by quick.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I can't wait for the rest of the season. I'm super excited for it. Greg, do you want to do another round of Who's more likely?
I'm scared to.
All right, let's do this. So, Greg and I are each going to do one for ourselves. Wait, does that make sense?
I don't know.
That made sense. All right, Greg, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first? You seem nervous about yours. You seem anxious about where you want to go.
I'll just tear the Band-Aid off.
All right, go for it.
Okay, who's more likely to blow out their sphincter doing deadlifts? Devin or Michael?
I think it's going to be Devin. I think Devin would be too overconfident because he's so cocky about so much stuff. He'll be so overconfident that, like, he'll throw the barbell behind. He's like, and he's like, Michael, I seem to have blown my sphincter. Could you get a towel? I got to say Devin.
Oh, my. Oh, I think I'll have to go with that, too, because he's the kind of one that would do that, but he'd do it overconfidently. But much like how he would die alone, he also wouldn't tell anybody, and he'd suffer about it for a couple of days.
So he's deadlifting alone?
Yeah, he's deadlifting, or he's just, and he's like, I'm done with that, and then Michael's like, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. And then a couple of days later.
Michael, what's that, Devin? What's that smell? Nothing.
Oh, poor Devin.
I know.
I think he would probably quietly ask Kit in confidence for medical advice.
Yeah. You'll find him, like, late at night, like, sitting in Kit, just, like, running diagnostics. Kit, could you run a diagnostic on my anus?
Oh, my dear, Devin.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, are we both saying Devin?
Devin's going to be the one.
All right. Are you ready for mine?
No.
Who's more likely to smell like a fart for the rest of their life, Garth, Devin, or Michael?
Oh, these have gone down the drain. Oh, my God. Season 2 has gone to the shitter.
Literally.
Wow. Who's
more likely to smell like a fart for the rest of their life?
I think it's going to be Garth, but he's going to try real hard to cover it up with cologne.
It's nothing ever mixes quite the right way. He's just like, he's trying Brute. He tries like Tommy Hilfiger, everything smells like death.
Like it almost works, but it's almost worse. It's like, man, I can't tell if my toilet backed up.
Oh, my face hurts.
I haven't laughed that hard in a while.
Oh, okay. We're both saying Garth.
Garth smells like a fart, and Devin blows his O-ring.
We're going to end this. Do you want to talk about next week's episode?
Just get it over with.
Okay. Next week is season 2, episode 4, Merchants of Death.
Wait a minute. Wasn't there a MacGyver episode called Merchants of Death?
I don't know. Look it up. There might have been something very similar to that. I'm going to read the synopsis, but you look that up as we talk about it. So, Season 2, Episode 4, Merchants of Death. A mission to Southern California is aborted after one of Devin's former lovers disappears. Michael and Kit's investigation leads them to the SX-411, a deadly attack helicopter a corrupt official intends to sell on the black market. Didn't we see this in Season 7 of MacGyver?
I think so.
With the French dictator?
Yeah.
With the silent helicopter?
And yeah.
And MacGyver used the mirror to turn it on?
Yes.
Then they wanted to sell it on the black market.
It sounds exactly
That's
the
season
same.
Season 7, Honest Abe.
Right.
I think that was the season 7 premiere.
Oh, dear.
Of course, that was 91, so this preceded it, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm all in it. I mean, Kit on a deadly attack helicopter? Did you find anything?
I accidentally pulled up the new season. I'm like, these names don't make sense.
Oh. Yeah, everything refers back to the new season, which kind of bumps me out.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, we're going to do a little research on that. We'll talk to you guys next week about that episode and see if we could find that out. Greg.
Yeah.
Do you have any closing thoughts or maybe talk about where people could find us, or would you like me to do a quick rundown?
That? I think everybody should go. You just go right online. You open up those inner pages and you type in www. That stands for World Wide Web.
Yes.
ChampaKlein.com, com for commerce.
Yep.
And that's CIAMPAKLEIN. And you will find our website on which you can find all kinds of great stuff. And I will also say that we have recently uploaded all of our 24-hour podcast. I said it before, I'll say it again. That is a binge listen that you need to check out.
Oh, absolutely.
24 hours of continuous recording that nearly killed both of us.
It was bad. It was bad. Greg.
David.
Anything else before we say goodnight?
I'm ready to keep my pants on and not lift anything heavy.
All right, let's do this, guys. So, for the Knight Rider years, I am the man dressed like a seat.
I am David Hasselhoff's roundhouse kick.
Have a fantastic week, everybody.
KITT for easy reference. A kit if you prefer. What would you like to hear?
There you have it, loyal listener. A fine example of what can truly be done with podcasting. Hard work, consistent output, and just the right amount of guidance from an enigmatic network overlord. Tune in again next week to see what timeless gem I dust off for your listening pleasure. Seriously. I need to get someone into this archive room and do some cleaning. It's filthy.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following @Podfix on Twitter, @official_Podfix on Instagram, @Podfix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.